Welcome to Kaleidoscope on WSJF. On Kaleidoscope, we take a topic, hold it up to the light, shake it up, and look at it to find something new and beautiful. I'm your host, Danny Gallagher, and you are listening to Kaleidoscope. On this episode of the show, I'm talking with Robert and Lori Fontana, some longtime friends, who I met in 1984 when the Fontana family moved to Maryland so that Robert could continue his education and work as the youth minister at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Our families spent a lot of time together, both before and after Doris and I were married, and we learned a lot about marriage life and parenthood from the Fontanas. Lori Fontana was primarily a home mom. She has a certificate in spirituality and theology and taught elementary school for 12 years. Her husband, Robert, has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy and has a clinical counseling practice in Seattle. He also has a doctorate in ministry and has worked professionally at the parish and diocesan levels in the Catholic Church and now for CLM. Robert has taught throughout Washington State and in Catholic parishes around the country, as well as internationally in Swaziland, South Africa, Tanzania, Haiti, and Belize, Central America. Robert and Lori have been married since 1978. They have 6 children and 8 grandchildren. Together, they direct Catholic Life Ministries Northwest, a nonprofit educational and counseling outreach. Robert and Lori are leading a weekend couples retreat at the Bon Secours Retreat and Conference Center in Marysville, Maryland, starting on August 7th. The retreat is called Hidden Treasure. The Fontanas are on the phone with me for this interview from their home in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to Kaleidoscope, Robert and Lori Fontana. So let's just begin by talking about your own marriage experience. So how did the two of you meet?
Well, hi, I'm Lori, and I went to graduate school at Louisiana State University, and I got involved in the campus ministry there. I wanted to do some service work, and I met a friend named Trish who invited me to go with the group to a local nursing home weekly to meet the people, visit with them, sing, and pray. And she said, by the way, there's this young man who has a guitar and wants to come play music, but he needs a ride. So would you give him a ride? And that's how it was Robert, and that's how we met.
Oh, cool. Okay, so you had a musical connection there.
And I had just left the seminary and was started at Louisiana State and wanted to get involved at the campus ministry and met Trish, who said, hey, there's this woman who has a car. If you bring a guitar, you can help us out with singing at the nursing home.
Great. Gosh, that's pretty cool. So I did notice that you've been married since 1978, so you're coming up on 50 years of wedded bliss. What's most helped the two of you succeed in this long-term marriage?
We really started out embracing the Catholic vision of marriage, which the three vows are that we enter marriage freely, we enter it for our whole lives, and we're open to children. And those are lofty goals. And before we were married, we didn't quite know what they meant, but
yeah,
we felt a great commitment to them. And then as we encountered challenges and joys of just of life and of married life.
And babies.
And children came. We really had to mature, and we did mature, and we really learned to work for unity in all things. And not that we're perfect at it, but that is really our goal in marriage, to be in unity with all our major decisions and with our outlook on life. Even though we're very different people, we really strive for unity within our sacrament of marriage. And that has given us a real anchor, I think.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Rob? Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say is I think that the Catholic vision for marriage really gives us a framework to mature and to grow. And our marriage vows, they discipline us to be faithful, to be true, to honor one another through good times and in bad. And challenging times were graduate school and having babies and little babies. It's hard work. It's tiring. but we matured and grew and learned that we are very different from each other and that we have to work on learning how to negotiate our differences to find unity in our marriage. And learning to do that has been a remarkable grace.
Yeah, so learning that you're different, it sounds like, that you're two different people, that was an important step in the process.
And that we will never be like the other person.
Mm.
That was a huge, one day, I'll just tell you a little quick story. We were working through some differences and we wrote down what we needed from each other. And I was working at St. Joseph's in Sykesville. And I was working nights and weekends and coming in at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And Lori and I were having some conflict and we were trying to negotiate it. And she wrote down what she needed from me. And she wrote down, when you say you're going to be home at 10, you're home at 10. When you come home at 10, you don't wake up the children and play with them. If there are dishes and diapers, there is no romance. If you write a check, you record a check. Put the decimal in the right place. Don't balance it. And my list was don't sweat the small stuff. Play before work at home. Let's be flexible. Let's be spontaneous. And we showed each other our list and we started laughing because Lori wanted to be married to her. She described her and I described me and I wanted to be married to me. And we both realized, oh, okay, we have to just accept the other person as the other person is and start really communicating and negotiating our differences so that our marriage will always win.
Yeah, wow. Sounds hard, but it's good that you went through that process. I was thinking that, so staying married does seem to be really hard based on all the statistics that are out these days. So, Robert, what led you to get a master's degree in marriage and family therapy?
Well, we had started a nonprofit ministry called Catholic Life Ministries, and we were doing family work, family camps, and family days and Pentecost and play days for families. And we started to do some marriage enrichment events. And we actually went to some training to be marriage relationship coaches, really in part because we wanted to learn better skills at communicating. And there's no better way to learn skills than to teach them.
Sure, yeah.
We became relationship coaches. And then priests started asking me if I would be willing to counsel couples because we seemed to be effective with people who were coming on our workshops. And I said I'd be happy to. I thought I'd be great at it. But the people that they brought to me were people who were in serious conflict.
Yeah.
The very first case I had was an infidelity. The wife was having an affair. And I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. And when I got another priest asked me to work with this other couple in serious conflict, I realized I had to get training.
Yeah. You didn't quite have the skills.
I didn't understand conflict. I didn't know how to slow down a conversation. I didn't know how to help people understand the dynamic that they had created and the trap that they had set for themselves through this negative dynamic that they had created over the years.
Yeah.
One thing, for example, I really learned that for most couples where there's an infidelity, the infidelity doesn't cause a bad marriage. It's a bad marriage that generally leads to an infidelity.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Unless there was a habit of infidelity before the marriage.
Oh, gotcha.
So I got a master's in couples and family therapy. I've been working as a therapist since 2016.
Well, why do you think so many church marriages, you know, Catholic or Protestant or anything else, end in divorce?
I think this is complex.
Yeah.
For one, as a culture, we have transitioned from marriages that are guided by roles. This is the man's role. This is the woman's role. We still have that kind of thinking somewhat in more traditional cultures, more traditional like even Christian cultures, Catholic and Protestant, but people don't live out of roles anymore. Women don't need, for example, the husband's money because many women are working.
Right.
And so often they stayed in a marriage because they didn't have the resources not to stay in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So today people don't marry because they're looking for a good father for their children, a good parent for their children, because they want financial security, because of status, because of social connections. That's not primary reasons why people marry. Those were primary reasons why people married in the past. And roles carried marriages. So my grandparents, probably your grandparents, the father did his role, the wife did their role, and their relationship worked. And maybe they didn't have to communicate as much as we do today. Today, people marry because they marry for love.
Yeah.
And that's an emotional relationship. And it's a harder relationship to sustain because you got to work at it. It won't just, if you take it for granted, you're going to drift apart. One reason many good people divorce is because after they marry, the marriage slowly takes second place and other things take first place. For one, children can take first place. Work. Church can take first place. Hobbies. And then slowly people drift apart. Complicating it is addiction, alcohol and drug addiction, pot, the rise of marijuana right now.
Mm-hmm.
People who use substances don't have access to their deeper selves and can't really emotionally engage as well with others. A couple other things to mention is, I think, childhood trauma. There's a lot of childhood abuse that inhibits our ability to be in healthy relationships as adults. Pornography is a big reason.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for younger couples that are failing. There's a lot of young people who are involved in pornography, and that prevents them from really being present to one another in marriage.
Yeah.
So a lot of complex reasons that overlap, and including just simply our very secular culture that puts making money, winning over a covenant commitment that marriage demands.
Hmm. Wow. So can all couples that are struggling in their marriage, do you find that there are some who can't turn things around?
There are most marriages, I would say, can be saved if people would give it attention early on in their conflicts. A lot of marriages fail because people wait too long to get counseling, to get help, or to go to workshops.
Yeah, I was wondering, what are the signs that people need to be aware of to think that, you know, to make the decision to go to a marriage counselor?
Well, if there's increased conflict, or if you notice someone's just avoiding, maybe there's not conflict, they're just avoiding, people are working too much and don't come home, people are spending more time with their hobbies, people are hurt, couples are hurting each other with their words, anything like that. If you think about your car, when your car starts making noise.
Yeah, right.
What do most people do?
Yeah, take it to the mechanic.
You take it to someone and say, hey, this is making noise. Well, what's the problem? We don't do that with our marriages.
Mm.
We avoid, we put things on hold, we're embarrassed, we don't get help. And then what happens is then a couple creates a real negative dynamic. And when they get to the point where they don't like each other anymore, where they're no longer friends, wow, that is hard to turn around.
Yeah.
Because what's the motivation to repair a hurt relationship? You still like your spouse. You love them, but do you like them?
Uh-huh,
you
yeah.
like the people they are.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy being with them? One of the signs that a marriage is in trouble, Danny, is when there's very little fun.
Oh, mm-hmm.
When fun goes out of a relationship, it's an indication that a couple is no longer friends. And today, if you ask me what quality do couples need to really help them go the distance, well, I'll tell you from the research, it's friendship.
Hmm.
Couples who are religious or not religious, if they work on sustaining friendship, they're going to make themselves available for lovemaking, for play, for common chores, for resolving their differences,
mm-hmm.
for being with children. And so one of the signs of a marriage that's in trouble is we're not having fun anymore.
Hmm.
So the question can, not all marriages can be saved, especially if there's physical abuse, if there's severe substance abuse that people aren't willing to change, but many marriages can be saved, even with addiction. Couples have, say, turned their marriages around when they want to do it, and they get the support they need and get the help they need.
Yeah, so is that kind of the main reason that maybe couples counseling doesn't work, is because people just make the decision that they don't want to do it?
I think many couples go too late. They finally say, okay, I'll go to counseling. But they might already have one foot out the door. They might already be thinking divorce. And so it's really important that couples, like the workshop, the retreat we're going to be doing, it's important that couples come to work on their marriages. One reason we started these retreats is actually so they don't come to see them. They don't have to come to marriage therapists. We want to do prevention work. We want to get people in a habit of making their marriage their single most important commitment outside of their relationship with God.
You are listening to Kaleidoscope on WSJF. I'm your host, Danny Gallagher, and I'm speaking on the phone with Robert and Lori Fontana from Seattle, who will be in Maryland to lead a weekend retreat at Bon Secours called Hidden Treasure Retreat for Couples. Let's get back to the show.
So you talked about the retreat that you're coming to Bon Secours Retreat Center to present. It's a weekend called Hidden Treasure. And so you talked a little bit about beginning to offer why you started offering marriage enrichment retreats and workshops. So what have you learned from study and your work as a therapist that you would want couples to know, maybe some specific things to help them succeed in marriage? You talked about being united, communicating.
Well, I think the first thing that couples really should hold on to is if you succeed in marriage, you succeed in life. Marriage is the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not becoming a millionaire. It's not being a great sports athlete. When you succeed in marriage and then you succeed in raising a family, that's the pot of gold.
So that's why you called the retreat Hidden Treasure.
I did. We named it after the scripture passage of a treasure hidden in a field.
Right.
Christian marriage especially is a sacrament of the kingdom of God. It makes the kingdom of God present to the couple, to the children, and to their neighbors. Jesus didn't just come to get us to heaven. He came to help us bring heaven to earth, and marriage is key to that, because that's where we form little human beings.
Yeah.
And that's the relationship we leave to go out into the world and be a power for good. And most people are going to hook up. Most men and women are going to hook up. They're going to have sex. They're going to have children, some in marriage, some out of marriage. Well, we want people to succeed in love.
Yeah.
And we want people to have the tools to succeed in love. And so one thing that we want them to know when they come on this retreat is, hey, all the evidence, the social evidence shows us that when marriage succeeds, everybody wins. Your church wins, your neighborhood wins, your school wins, your children win.
Yeah.
And guess who really wins? The men. Married men really thrive compared to their single widowed, divorced counterparts. And that's all the evidence. And you throw in that our faith, where marriage is a sign, a sacrament, an outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. And it's throughout the marriage. And the couple is the sign of the sacrament. We're the ministers of the sacrament, not the priests.
Right, yeah.
And we're the religious, we're the spiritual leaders of our homes, not the priests. And God is present in the midst of us as we learn to work for unity and forgive each other and teach our children to do the same. And we don't do it perfectly. So like G.K. Chesterton once wrote, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly.
Mm.
And marriage, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. It's worth struggling at and stumbling at to learn how to do it better. There are no perfect marriages,
mm-hmm.
but there are successful marriages.
Yeah.
Where people actually enjoy each other and love each other. And Danny, longevity doesn't mean it's a happy marriage. I can tell you there's a term we call the gray divorce, where people who've been married 30 and 40 years are divorcing.
Wow.
They stayed together for the children. They stayed together for their families, but they didn't work on their marriages. And these are religious people. It's possible to be deeply religious and actually not mature as a couple in the qualities needed to succeed in marriage. People actually can hide from one another using religion. They can avoid each other by going to mass, saying rosaries, going to prayer groups, and not working on the issues that are separating them as spouses.
Mm-hmm. So what can people who attend the retreat expect? Just maybe just a couple of things you might want to say.
Well, there will be some short talks, but the emphasis of the retreat is to have spouses or partners speaking to each other. There'll be time for reflection, for discussion between the spouses or partners, and that is the backbone of the retreat. But there's also a lot of fun. There is music, there's skits, there's good snacks, and and there is time to talk to other couples and to hear successes and what things are working well for other couples and perhaps even what struggles other couples are having. But I think some people might shy away from a weekend marriage retreat because of being with people they don't know and not wanting to discuss their marriage in front of other people. And really, most of the time is devoted to the couple sharing with each other.
Right, talking to each other, yeah. How about what would you say to listeners who are intrigued, they're interested, but they're on the fence? Why should they attend?
Well, they should attend because it's going to be a great experience. And they can tiptoe into it by Friday night, that it's going to be the marriage jackpot date night, and it's open for people who don't make the whole weekend.
Oh, cool.
They can come Friday night. It's going to be a combination of skits and music and it's the beginning of the retreat, but they're going to identify good things in their relationship. They're going to learn about why marriage is such a gift to society and to the church, and they're going to be challenged by meeting a fine Irishman named Murphy, the marriage salesman.
sounds interesting.
So I think it's a fun night, and they can come and if they like it, then they can come stay the whole weekend.
Great, that sounds
and
good.
Commuters are welcome, as well as people who stay and spend the night at Bon Secours.
Great. All that sounds really good. Any final words that you'd like to add about yourselves or about the retreat?
What I would like to add is we believe in the value of marriage. It's a social good. It's something that our culture needs to hold up for our young people to aspire to do is to marry. It's good for people to be married. And we need healthy marriages to have healthy society. Not everybody's going to marry, of course. But even if you aren't married, but you're dating or you're in a cohabiting relationship, come to the retreat. You will learn a lot about yourself, your partner. You'll develop skills in communication. You'll learn to look at what's the negative dynamic of our relationship and how to turn it around. You'll listen to other couples and learn some wisdom from them. Certainly, there's a couple named Danny and Doris Gallagher that might be there to share a few wonderful insights.
Probably.
And of course, Lori and I will be sharing our relationship. We'll share the wisdom we have, and we'll learn from you. So, Lori, anything else from you? And it's a great honor to be able to present this retreat at Bond Secure. And we just thank Doris and the staff there for their commitment to marriage by offering this retreat.
Great. Sounds really good. I've been talking to Robert and Lori Fontana, presenters of The Weekend, Hidden Treasure Retreat for Couples, being held at Bon Secours Retreat and Conference Center in Marriottsville from August 7th through the 9th. For more information and to register for the retreat, go to the Bon Secours Retreat and Conference Center website or call them at 410-442-3120. You can learn more about the Fontanas and their ministry organization, Catholic Life Ministries Northwest, by going to catholiclifeministries.org or find CLM on Facebook. So thanks so much, Robert and Lori Fontana, for being my guests on Kaleidoscope.
Okay. God bless you, Danny.
Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Kaleidoscope on WSJF. Stay tuned for more conversations where we point our kaleidoscope at a subject and talk about it to help us see in new and different ways. Talk to you again soon on Kaleidoscope.